بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to our 11th week of reading from حياة الصحابة. Alhamdulillah is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has enabled us not only to start this book reading but keep it going. This is not the greatness of any one of us, but this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has enabled us to do this great amal, to read about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Today in our lives, we are busy in so many different things that we do not get time to do extra activities such as reading books or learning or teaching. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has enabled us to sit here for 5, 10, 20 minutes and read and learn about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, learn about Islam, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in itself, this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we shouldn't think something small of it. So let us start reading from page 104, where we had reached last week, insha'Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Hazrat Sa'd bin Zurara radiallahu an and Dakhwan bin Abd Qais radiallahu an to Islam. Hazrat Khubayb bin Abdir Rahman narrates that Hazrat Sa'd bin Zurara radiallahu an and Dakhwan bin Abd Qais radiallahu an came to Makkah to have Utfa bin Rabia settle a dispute. When they arrived and heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they both went to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam presented Islam to them, recited the Quran to them, and they both accepted Islam without even getting close to Utba bin Rabi. Hazrat Sa'd bin Zurara radiallahu an and Dakhwan bin Abd Qais radiallahu an were therefore the first persons from Medina to accept Islam. Subhanallah. The dawah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave to groups. Leaders of the Quraysh dispute the dawah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that it was after sunset when several leaders of the Quraysh gathered behind the Kaaba for a meeting. Among them were Utbah and Shaybah, the two sons of Rabi, Abu Sufyan bin Harb, someone from the Abdiddar tribe, Abdul Bakhtari from the Banu Asad tribe, Aswad bin Abdul Muttalib bin Asad, Zama bin Al-Aswad, Walid bin Mughira, Abu Jahal bin Hisham, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, Umayyah bin Khalaf, As bin Wail, and Nabi and Munabba, the two sons of Hajjaj from the Banu Sam tribe. They decided to send someone to call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to them in an effort to speak to him frankly and thrash out matters so that people would know that they had made every effort to resolve matters. Consequently, the message reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the leaders of his people have gathered to speak to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hurried to meet them, thinking that they had changed their opinions about him and were ready to accept Islam, because he was always eager for their welfare, always desired that they be rightly guided, and always distressed by their errant ways. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat with them, they said, "O Muhammad, we have sent for you so that people may know that we have done our best to persuade you. By Allah, we know of no other Arab who has distressed his people as you have done. You have insulted our forefathers, blasphemed against our religion, made our luminaries seem foolish, abused our gods, and disrupted our unity. In fact, you have done everything possible to spoil the relations between us. If it is wealth that you want, By propagating your message, we shall accumulate wealth to make you the wealthiest person amongst us. If it is honor that you want, we shall make you our leader. If it is kingship you aspire for, we shall make you our king. If you are doing this because you have been afflicted by evil spirits that have overwhelmed you, then we shall spend all of our fortunes until you are cured, or until we grow helpless in finding a cure for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, I aspire for none of the things you have mentioned. I have not brought to you what I have brought, the message of Islam, in search of your wealth, nor to attain honor or kingship. However, Allah has sent me as a messenger to you. Allah has revealed a book to me and commanded me that I convey glad tidings to you. Should you accept Islam and warn you at the same time, I have therefore conveyed to you the messages of my Rabb, and I have given you sound advice. If you accept what I have brought to you, you shall be fortunate in this world as well as in the Akhirah. On the other hand, should you reject this, I shall wait for the decision of Allah when He decides matters between myself and you people. Subhanallah, my dear respected brothers and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was courageous. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us an example of courage here. If we read carefully, how many people were in front of him? In this incident, it seems like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alone on one side. And on the opposition, so many people there questioning him. They all were there gathered to question him. And this was a time when the followers of Islam were less. This was a time in Makkah when the followers of Islam were less. It is not a time where Islam had flourished and where there were many Muslims. Yet, when they called to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a positive thought that maybe these people are ready to accept what I say. And with this eagerness to spread deen, to save people, he went out. He went to them and he met them. And even after, when he met them and they said all this to them, he still did not lose hope. He still stood firm on deen. He gave them dawah. He told them. He did not cower away. He did not say any insulting words and walk away from them. Or he did not say, this is what you have called me for. No. He explained to them what deen is. He stood up on Islam. He stood up on the truth. And let us keep on reading and we see, inshallah, what transpired next. After listening to him, the leaders of Quraysh said, O Muhammad, since you would not accept any of our proposals, you know very, very well that there is no city more restricted than ours, no nation poorer than us, and none who live lives more difficult than ours. Therefore, ask your Rabb who has sent you to move from us these mountains that have restricted us, to expand our city, to cause rivers to flow like the rivers of Sham and Iraq. In addition to this, ask him to bring back to life our forefathers who have passed away. Amongst these, he should bring back to life Qusay bin Kilab, because he was a pious person. We shall then ask him whether you are truthful in your claim or not. If you fulfill all that we have asked you, and if our forefathers verify that you what you say, then we shall believe you and acknowledge your status with Allah. We shall then acknowledge that Allah has sent you as a messenger, as you claim. If someone that we were giving dawah to and inviting us to Islam, and they gave us this answer, how would we react? We have to think, how would we react? We would think, this person is mocking me. This person is trying to make me angry. And we would get angry and we would give them a different sort of answer. Now let's see what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded calmly. In response to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not been sent for this reason. I have been sent to you people with that which Allah has sent me for, and I have already conveyed to you that which Allah has sent me with. If you accept it, you shall meet good fortune in this world as well as in the next. On the other hand, should you reject this, I shall patiently await the command of Allah when He decides matters between yourselves and me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was offered with wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was offered that we will fulfill your every need. We will make you our leader. Yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam held on to the teachings of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not compromise. Here, look, they made so many offerings to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't say, okay, let me compromise with them. And I compromise with them, they will accept, maybe they will accept my ways in the future. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not compromise the deen. He said, no, thank you. I am here with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me for. And this is what He has sent me with. It doesn't matter what you offer. It doesn't matter what you give me. It doesn't matter what deal you want to make. This is not my work. The work that I've sent for is the work of deen. This is a great example and lesson for us today in our time that we are living. Today we are ready to compromise our deen. We are ready to compromise the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because we think that, okay, this will put us in a better position to give da'wah. Or this will put us in a better position to practice deen. How can we be put in a better position to practice deen when we are basing it on the foundation of disobedience? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam here is showing us that first priority is our religion. First priority is Islam. No matter how much wealth you are offered, no matter how much what you are offered, no, our priority is Islam. Our priority is the teachings of deen. Our priority is the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look how calmly, even after they mocked him with all these requests, he told them, no, sorry, I can't do this. Allah subhanahu, I have been sent to give you the message and to present to you Islam, and this is what I have done. Let's see, let's keep reading in this story. The mushrikeen then said, if you do not wish to do this, then at least do this for yourself, that you ask your Rabb to send an angel to verify what you say and give answers on your behalf. You should also ask him to grant you orchards, treasures, and palaces of gold and silver, by which you would become independent of the things we assume you are hankering after, because you merely stand in the marketplaces and earn a living just as we do. If you do this, we shall acknowledge your high standing in the sight of your Rabb. This you would do if you are really a Nabi as you claim. Now what did they tell him? That, okay, you need to show us you're special. Bring the angels. Bring, have some gold, attain something that we don't have. You are just like us. You are just like us. So how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam respond? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, I shall not do this. I am not one to ask my Rabb for such things, and I have not been sent to you for this reason. However, Allah has sent me as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner. If you accept what I say, you shall meet good fortune in this world as well as in the next. On the other hand, should you reject this, I shall patiently await the command of Allah when He decides matters between yourselves and me. Again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the same response. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a simple person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a simple person. And just like how people rejected him, people of the previous Anbiya alayhi wasallam, they rejected the Anbiya alayhi wasallam. Why? Because those people were also simple. Today, similarly, when we hear the advice from someone who is a nobody, who is a simple person, we want to reject what advice they are giving us. When they are advising us on deen, we don't want to listen. We want to listen to those people who have status, even though they may be directing us in the wrong direction. Today, look how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was less, but yet he was courageous, he came out. Today, there are people who are changing the deen, and they are not courageous like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today, the people who are standing on deen are few, who are ready to propagate deen and ready to call out everything that is going wrong in our religion. They are few, but they are courageous as well. When they are asked, they will speak out. When they are asked, they will stand up and they will speak out. But those people who are taking us in the wrong direction, who are taking us in the wrong direction, they will stand on the members. And this is the danger for us as Muslims. Today we listen to these speakers. We listen to what they say. They are manipulating our mind. They are manipulating our mind. They are putting this poison in our mind. They make us believe them. They make us trust them. And then they guide us in the wrong direction. And when they are questioned, they are not courageous like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They go and hide. They go and hide. This is when you know, in front of the people on the stage, in front of the majority, they are ready to call people towards wrong. They are ready to participate in misdeeds. And when they are participating in misdeeds, they are fooling the people, they are deceiving the people. The people think that this is our religion now. Our religion accepts this, it accepts this, it accepts this. But behind, afterwards, when they are questioned, they are running. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not run. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not hide. Why? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the truth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the teachings of Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood upon the Sharia of Islam. So here we understand he still gave them the same answer. He gave them the same answer. The mushrikeen then said, in that case, cause the sky to fall on us as you claim your Rabb is able to do it if he pleases. We shall never believe you unless you do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, that is left to Allah. If he wills, he would make it happen. They said, O Muhammad, did your Rabb not know that we will be sitting with you and asking you for these things? Could he not have informed you earlier about the questions we will be asking and the replies you ought to be giving? Could he not have told you what he would do with us if we refuse to accept what you say? The news has reached us that you have learnt everything you say from a man in Yamama whose name is Rahman. By Allah, we shall never believe in Rahman. O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have placed everything before you without leaving anything unsaid. By Allah, we shall never leave you alone and will keep seeking vengeance for what he and you had done to us. Eventually, it will be us who will finish you off, or it will be you who will finish us off. Thereafter, one of them said, we worship the angels who are the daughters of Allah. Another said, we shall never believe you until you bring Allah and the angels all before us. When they had said this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and left them. His cousin by the name of Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah bin Mughira bin Abdullah bin Umar bin Makhzum, who was the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's paternal aunt Atika, also stood up with him and said, O Muhammad, your people presented to you what they had to say, but you refused to accept any of their proposals. Thereafter, they asked you for some things they required by which they could recognize your high status in the sight of Allah, but you refused to do even this. Eventually, they asked you to hasten the punishment about which you had been warning them. I swear by Allah and that I shall never believe in you until I see you set up a staircase leading to the heavens. Climb it and return with an open scripture together with four angels who would testify that you are as you claim you are. By Allah, I think that I would not even believe you after you do this. He then turned away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to return to his family in a state of sadness and dejection, because not only was his desire for them to accept Islam left unfulfilled, but because he noticed that they were drifting further away from him. From this last part, we learn that all this, it saddened Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also go through this. Today, sometimes we make the effort of deen. We call people towards Islam, and we may invite one person, we may invite the second person, the third. We make an effort, and we know that this effort is for our betterment, and we know that the guidance of the people is not in our hands. But sometimes we get frustrated Because we think, why do not people do not understand? Or we feel that my efforts are so small, this is why people are not understanding me. And this frustrates us and we get sad. But we have to stand firm like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. We shouldn't let this sadness or this feeling deter us from the work of deen. We have to understand that guiding people is not in our power. Our responsibility is to give the da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. Just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made these efforts. And just like the Anbiya alayhi Islam before him, they kept making these efforts. In the beginning, there were a few people accepting Islam. As time went on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought more people to Islam. Until what happened? That everyone started accepting Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam moved to Medina and more people started accepting Islam, and everyone then started accepting Islam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back to conquer the very city in which he first started to propagate deen. Over a period of 23 years, Islam started to spread everywhere. And further into the caliphs, Islam started spreading all over the world. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time did not give up. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, at that time they did not give up the effort of deen. Similarly, we should see them as our example, that we should not give up the effort of deen. We should not feel old. We should not belittle ourselves. We should say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to call people to Islam, to remind each other, of good things, of good deeds, to remind each other that there's only one Allah, And the more we make this effort slowly, it might take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, but eventually we will see, inshallah, Allah will show us how this effort will bring Islam deeper into our hearts, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deeper into the hearts, our hearts. And this is the greatest gift. Regardless of how many people we have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us to help, when this Islam comes into our hearts, it protects us from doing sins. This is the greatest achievement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give us, the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us. And then also, inshallah, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this effort will open our doors in our life. Open the same, we may have the same problems, but we will look at them from a different angle. We will see them with our hearts, and we will think, this I thought was a problem. No, this is helping me remember Allah. Oh, I have this sickness. I thought that this sickness was a problem, and it was making me sad, and I was praying and I was doing this. No, then we will realize that this sickness is what is making us remember our Creator. Our problems may not go away, but we will perceive those problems to be something else now. Subhanallah, we will see them as a gift. So this is the beauty of when we have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have the love of Islam, when we have the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. We will still have problems. We will still have difficulties. It doesn't mean, look here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had problems. They were also telling him that you have the same problems we are having. You are making the same efforts to earn a living that we are making. So it shows that just because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was propagating deen, this does not mean that he did not have the same challenges that we are facing today. We should not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing his ibadat because we expect something in return. We have a problem. Oh, now let's pray. Let's do dua. Why? We want that problem resolved. That means we are doing ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our own benefit, that our problem is resolved. Even in our ibadat, we are being selfish. This is what it means. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the option of having everything he wanted, yet he denied it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for deen, for Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Abil, Haysim, and some youths from Banu Abdul Ashhal to Islam. Mahmud bin Labid from the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe narrates that Abdul Haysim, Anas bin Rafi, and some youths from the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe arrived in Mecca to conclude a treaty with the Quraysh on behalf of their tribe, the Khazraj. Among these youths was Yas bin Mu'ad. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about their arrival, he approached them and said, "Look, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear someone has come, he would have the fikr. How can I go there? How can I preach Islam to them?" He didn't take preaching Islam as a burden. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of it, "Oh, how can I preach Islam to them that they are saved from the fire? Someone is here, let me go and tell them." The way we take interest in maybe doing our business, or we take interest in the things we like to do, this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took interest in doing the work of deen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do you desire something better than that which has brought you?" They replied, "What is it?" He said, "I am the Rasul of Allah. Allah has sent me to his servants to call them to worship him without ascribing any partners to him. Allah has also revealed a book to me." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then spoke to them about the beauty of Islam and recited a part of the Quran to them. To this, Yas bin Mu'adh, who was still a young lad, said to the people, "By Allah, this is certainly better than that which has brought you here." Abul Haysim, Anas bin Rafi, threw a handful of pebbles into the face of Iyas and said, "Ignore this. I swear by my life that we have come for some other purpose." Iyas remained silent and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left them. The group later left for Medina. This occurred during the period when the Aus and Khazraj tribes were fighting a prolonged battle called Bu'ath. It was not long thereafter that Iyas passed away. Hazrat Mahmud bin Labid narrates further that the people who were with Iyas at the time of his death informed him that they heard Iyas reciting the words La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and Subhanallah until he died. There is no doubt about the fact that he died as a Muslim. He had accepted Islam as soon as he received the invitation directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is another lesson for us. We do not know who our words will benefit. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went, he invited, and then he left. But this person, then he accepted Islam and he was saved from the fire. So inshallah, we will end today's class here. But let us take reminder from all of this, that don't be shy, you know, don't be shy to talk about Islam. Don't be shy to remind each other about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can learn a few things and we can talk to other people about Islam. And this will help fortify our deen in our hearts. It will help strengthen our own iman. When we talk about Islam, it will help strengthen our love for Allah. It will help strengthen our love for Islam. It will help strengthen our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we need to do. Otherwise, we will not feel the sweetness of iman. It will be difficult for us to do our ibadah. We will be doing ibadah because it is a burden, because it is an obligation. And we need to change that obligation into an addiction. We need to change the ibadah that we do of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into an addiction, into a desire that we want to pray our salah, that we want to say istighfar, that we want to read the salawat, that we want to read durood, that we want to read Quran. Not that someone is hovering over us, "Oh, read your salah." Someone is hovering over us to make sure that we are praying. Our parents or whoever it may be are hovering over us, "Oh, now do this." No. We should have to learn to act upon Islam because we want to act upon Islam. And to bring this into our hearts, we have to share the stories of Islam. We have to share kissas. We have to share about what awaits in Jannah for us. we have to read about the stories of our pious predecessors and how they taught Islam to the people also. And all these things, all these teachings, it will slowly pull us closer and closer and closer. And we will start making changes in our lives that we didn't even think were possible. We will start making changes in our lives which we didn't even realize we were capable of. When it comes from Salah, time of Salah, just like when it is time of food, something reminds us it's time to eat. Or when we are feeling thirsty, something reminds us it's time to drink. Something in our heart will remind us that it's time to pray Salah. At night, something will tell us, put your head on the floor. Do sijda. Turn to Allah. Do sijda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg Allah for mercy. Beg Allah for His forgiveness. We will have this feeling, this desire in our heart to do it. Why? Because the sweetness of the iman, the beauty of iman will start entering our lives. And this is the purpose. The purpose is not just to pray our salah from Fajr to Zuhr, Zuhr to Asr, because this then we are doing like a burden or an obligation. It's being wanting to pray our salah. It's being wanting to do ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's while we are walking, our heart is reminding us, say astaghfirullah, look down, turn to Allah, bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into your life. Which sunnah are you not doing? Which sunnah are you doing? How can I bring more sunnahs into our life? Then we start researching, we start reading that what can I do to can improve? What zikr can I make to bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our hearts will remind us, it's ishraq time, pray ishraq now. Lift your hands and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of Islam, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And this is the beauty of Islam that we need to bring into our hearts. And the only way to do it is by remembering Allah and calling towards Allah and refraining from sin and doing istighfar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being a means of fitna. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.